Michael, maybe just to start things off, can you provide an overview of Centene's results year to date and an update on the outlook for the remaining months of the year?
Sure. Year to date, we had the hiccup, the miss in the second quarter, which was associated with Hidalgo County in Texas, with the Celtic, some issues as two of the three, and then, of course, the third one I'm blanking on at the moment. Texas.
Something in Kentucky.
Kentucky. I keep trying to forget Kentucky exists. I don't know why. But in Kentucky. We've made a lot of progress in Texas, and we can talk about that in more detail if you wish. Celtic, we've put in a new network. That's starting to work. We have some new management there now that's really taking hold of it. And so I think we'll see that continue down the slight improvement as we had projected. Kentucky, effective September 1, they're supposed to be changing the way that they assign the auto, the retros.
Okay.
So we'll wait and see how that works. But the retros still continue, in my mind, to be an issue because how can you be held accountable for something that happened last November? You know, and you get the bills and the member, you know, 8, 9 months after they're out of the hospital. So, or been in the hospital several times. So that's something that needs to work. But that one, it's going to be, the state has to decide if they want to have a sustainable program that lasts, or they're just going to try and save as much as they can for a short time. Kentucky's one of those instances. You see three plans, all with high medical loss ratios, and the state walking out saying, we have a better surplus in Medicaid than we thought we would. There's something not right.
During your second quarter call, you talked a little bit about thinking you could have about 200 to 300 basis points of improvement in the MLR. Are you feeling confident with what you're seeing going on in the marketplace that that's achievable?
Well, 100 basis points of that is rates.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're continuing, but until we see how the state changes some of its policies, I'm not, you know, I think it's still achievable. You know, I know that those things that are in our control, whether it be the narcotic type drug abuse, whether it be the inpatient for the normalized cases, the outpatient, the physician care, that type of thing, we're coming in with the actuarial basis we thought we would. I mean, I'm convinced we quoted the right rate. The issue was we have never seen a state that, you know, where you get 52%+ of your membership any month on a retro basis going back that far. That's not the standard of practice in any other state. I've never seen a state where they we're thinking more about how much surplus they're booking versus the sustainability of the program. And so, you know, it's just very different in that regard. But we're going to continue to do it. I always tell people, you're judged how you exit, not how you enter. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to continue to do things the right way.
Great. And then there actually is some growth opportunity potentially in the Kentucky market with Region 3. What are Centene's thoughts about the attractiveness of Region 3 and When might we find out about that?
We responded to the RFP, and we saw that as a great opportunity for the state, not just for us, but from a public policy standpoint, to correct things for everybody. So we built in there, and then knowing whatever they do for us, they have to do for others. Mm-hmm. We built in there some prerequisites of changes we would want to see. We were invited to participate, so we had kind of won the RFP, if you will. They asked us to come and negotiate a contract, and we said we would sit down with them, but these things were on the table, they understood it, and when we got into those discussions, we didn't see them making the changes, and we voluntarily withdrew our bid for Region 3, so we're not going to participate in Region 3.
Okay.
You know, we are not afraid to say no when it doesn't make sense to do so.